In an 18-page study released this week, the Mackinac Center argues that closing Michigan's public school employee pension plan to new members has become increasingly urgent due to its mushrooming unfunded liabilities. They have now reached nearly $18 billion. James Holman's on our line, Assistant Director of Fiscal Policy at the Mackinac Center, with five ways to take care of this problem. Good morning, James. Great to have you here. Another riveting study from you folks at the Mackinac Center.
Well, thanks for having me on.
A pleasure. First of all, explain to everyone, what exactly is the public school employee pension plan and what is its status?
Yeah, the public school employee pension plan is, like a lot of other government employee pension plans, a way of providing current public school employees with pension benefits. You know, every month they get an annuity from get an annuity check from the state, and this covers a portion of whatever they earned while they were working to provide them with money for retirement. These pension plans have largely gone out of favor in the private sector, and they've gone out of favor because it turns out shifting all this risk to the employer was bad for the businesses themselves, and that public and that workers could be able to be trusted to save for their own retirements. And so that shifted all this risk over to taxpayers and to school districts. And in fact, the state government has been really bad at making sure there's enough money in these systems to pay for the pension benefits that have already been earned by members. In fact, right now, taxpayers and school districts owe about $17.6 billion into this pension system. And that's you know, certainly more than the state of Michigan's annual general fund budget.
I want everyone to understand that, because that means they've underfunded it by nearly $18 billion, right?
That is correct. If the state were to dissolve the system right now, it would not have enough money to meet its obligations.
Well, are they banking on what in order to be able to meet that obligation in the future?
Yeah, they're essentially what they do is charge school districts. They've got a payment plan that's scheduled to go over for the next 25 years on how to pay down that debt. And right now, it requires about $1.3 billion each year. Now, if you think about that, that's just a huge amount of money, and they expect to pay this every single year for the next 25 years. I mean, that is more than the state government gives for in higher education appropriations. And they actually get something for higher education appropriations. In this case, all they get is a closer to fully funded pension system. The state gets a few services in return.
The Michigan public school employees, are they paying into their pension as well?
Oh, they are. They are. The state of Michigan requires about 6.4% of an employee, up to 6.4% of an employee's compensation to go into this pension system. However, the school districts are required to put in another 25%. And so school employees are largely trying to pay for the annual service costs, but they do not pay down the unfunded liabilities that's reserved for school districts and taxpayers.
We're talking to James Holman. He is Assistant Director of Fiscal Policy for the Mackinac Center. This new study talks about five ways to close these underfunded public school employee pension plans. Now, what are some of those suggestions you have?
Yeah, well, the state government says that there are these transition costs that that go on. If you want to start, you know, benchmarking the system, you want it to be public school employees to be treated like private sector members. You want them to save for their own retirement, but they say that if you do that, if you offer a defined contribution program, you're going to face these large transition costs, and mostly that is comprised of having to catch up on those unfunded liabilities in a faster manner. But you don't have to do that. That transition cost thing is something that's an accounting standard. It's not a funding policy. You can ignore it at your own discretion. But even if you wanted to deal with that, there are some ways of addressing it. I mean, first and foremost, the state has this very large and substantial problem with other post-employment benefits, retiree health care mostly. I mean, this is an expensive benefit. No one in the private sector gets it. The state has not set a single dollar aside, and they can change retirement benefits at their own whim. So if you cut back on OPEB, you're going to have enough money to pay for any transition costs that you want to pay and to start catching up on your unfunded liabilities.
Is anyone talking about that? Are they thinking about doing that at all, or they don't want to go there?
Oh, well, I mean, it's a tough issue to go to, but they're absolutely looking at it. They've done this OPEB reform for state employees.
Mm-hmm.
They've cut back on these benefits in the past. I think most people in Lansing realize that this is a financial catastrophe, and it's going to implode on itself sooner or later, and I would hope that they would start to fix the problem sooner.
And does that mean that you'd have to cut back on those who are currently getting it or could be getting it, or are these the new hires coming in?
Well, there are a couple of ways that you can do this, and certainly it's going to be subject to Lansing. I mean, most retirees are already on Medicare. Most people that have retired that are currently not working or enjoying their golden years are on Medicaid,
right.
Medicare, and it's providing them. So if you cut back on supplemental benefits to that, it will have almost no consequences other than who's paying for retirement benefits. So that's one way. And there's also another way that you could say, well, actually, you really should be working till retirement age, and so you might want to cut back on the incentive to retire early, which the gap between when an employee retires and when they're on Medicare, that's a huge expense for the state, and they might want to consider revising those benefits. But you can also apply it prospectively, and certainly just make the case that if you're hired into the system, you're not going to get these benefits that few people get in the private sector.
Trying to think differently, and we've all been doing that with our own lives and our own budgets, and we got to get government and the state and local and these municipalities all thinking in the same way in these schools. And I don't know what it's going to take, but it's great that the Mackinac Center sheds light on this in these studies and keeps pounding this into all of us. There are ways that we can deal with this and deal with it now, right, James?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, school districts around the state are just complaining about these things because they are unpredictable and unaffordable. I mean, a couple of years back, it was about 17% that they needed to put in. Now it's projected to go up to 30%. It's simply a mess that's eating school budgets, that's driving districts closer to bankruptcy, and it's straining taxpayer resources.
No, hopefully someone's going to start paying attention. Check out this study online at Mackinac.org. That's MACKINAC.org, Mackinac.org. 5 options for addressing transition costs when closing this pension plan and the huge deficit we have with that. Great talking with you today. And, of course, we love the work that the folks at the Mackinac Center do on behalf of all of us. It's really important. Thank you, James. Great talking with you.
Thank you, Lucy Ann.
James Homan, Assistant Director of Fiscal Policy at the Mackinac Center. This is Business Talk 1290 WLBY.